Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two. When I was in seventh grade, I switched from playing soccer to playing football, which my mom really didn't like. But I was hard-headed and I wanted to play football. And when you play soccer, you can, at least at that age, you can get away with being kind of scrawny. But football sort of exposes that very quickly when you're going up against each other in one-on-one drills, and the bigger and stronger guy generally wins. So I found out I want to be stronger. And so in my seventh grade brain, like, I didn't have weights, I didn't have a gym membership, so I just knew I had to do like body weight things, push-ups and pull-ups and sit-ups and all the things. So I'm like, I want to be stronger. And every day at school or every other day when we didn't have practice, I would write out my plan. You know, like 200 squats, 100 push-ups, 20 pull-ups because I'm weak, and whatever, how many sit-ups. And I'd write my plan out and then go home, do my homework, eat dinner, and then after dinner I'd do my workout. And I'd tally up all my things, and once I was done, I was done. Like, I accomplished my goal, I did what I set out to do, and over time, you know, like, you get stronger. Not that I become lighter, but it becomes easier because I'm getting stronger, and then I could up the ante and add more reps and all the things that you need to do to become better. And I could judge, was I actually doing what I set out to do? And then sometimes I think I'm high and mighty, and then I don't write down my plan, and then I go down and I'll do like 50 push-ups instead of 100, and I do 100 squats instead of 200, and then I'm like, yeah, that was good enough, you know. And you pat yourself on the back. I still do that when I go to the gym. You know, it's like, I move some weight around, I kind of sweat. Let's get out of here, you know? And why having the plan was so helpful is because I could actually evaluate, did I do what I set out to do? Because then I can actually kind of be tough on myself. It'd be helpful to have a coach there, of course, you know, urging me on, encouraging me along the way. But I could evaluate, am I actually doing what I set out to do? My fear is that in our Christian life, that we don't have any plan and we don't have any goals. Like, generally, I think we exist in a space where our plan is basically to be more kind, be a little bit more friendly, more patient, and overall just be a good person. And I think if you asked any atheist or non-believer, they would say all of the same things. So what separates the Christians from the non-believers? Do we have a plan, or what's the goal that we're striving for? Because to actually have a benchmark is going to be really helpful for me to be able to evaluate. Because at the end of the day, we're not evaluating. We become our own judge, our own jury, and we pat ourselves on the back because, yeah, we're a good person, whatever that means. But am I actually growing? Am I getting stronger? Am I doing the things that the Lord is asking me to do? Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two. And let's consider for a second what the dynamics of that look like. Summoned is kind of a heavy word. Like, there's almost a ceremonial aspect to it. Like, he summons them to come to him, and he sits the boys down, and he says, here's what's going to happen. And he gives them a little pep talk. He encourages them. He gives them instructions. You are to take with you no food, no sack, no money in your belts. I'll grant you a walking stick and some sandals. They're like, oh, okay. And then the Lord sends them out, and he says, when you guys get back, I'd love to hear how it went. Let's talk about it. And so as they go out, they're thinking, I'm going to have to report back how I did. That there's going to be something of an evaluation. Not that the Lord is there to lord it over them and judge them and dominate them, but he's going to ask, did you preach in my name? Were you able to heal? Did you bring people closer to me? And the Lord's actually going to evaluate. And then they go out. They follow his instructions. They don't bring with them money. They don't bring with them a second tunic. They follow the Lord's instructions, and this is huge, that the Lord is asking them to rely on him, that you are to preach and to teach in my name. You've seen the ways that I've done it. I need you to kind of imitate me. You're going to preach, you're going to heal, and you're going to encourage people as I have done. And you're supposed to rely on me in the midst of it. If you're anything like me, I tend, this is my fault, I tend to an unhealthy self-reliance, an ungodly self-reliance, where I don't always trust in the Lord completely. So I'll sort of protect myself and buffer myself so that if things go wrong, I end up okay. If things go wrong and I don't fully trust in the Lord, I still have money for the journey. I'm not going to be totally destitute or left out in the cold. And so I don't give a full, wholehearted surrender to the Lord. This is huge. Do we believe that Jesus will provide for us on our journey? That the one who has summoned us, the one who's encouraged us and sent us out, that he's going to provide for us as we continue on in our vocations to the places that he sends us. Is Jesus going to provide for us? It says they went off and they preached repentance. They went off and they preached repentance or conversion that's supposed to happen in people's hearts. And all the while, they knew that they'd have to report back to Jesus. Jesus brings them back and says, how'd we do, folks? What were the highs? What were the lows? Who'd you talk to? How did it go? Did they spurn you? Did they cast you out? And they report back. You know, this one family was not having us at all. And one gentleman, he was just cold and prickly, and he cast us off, and he didn't like it. There was one family that was really inviting, so we stayed with them a few nights, and we got to tell them about you. And they loved it, and they can't wait to meet you. And then we saw them coming alive, bursting at the seams, really. We want to be able to share more of you with them. And they'd be able to evaluate with the Lord, did your witness help bring people to faith in me? By your witness, by the way that you spoke, by your personality, did you help bring people to faith in me? And we could take this in a million different directions practically. How it is that we set goals for ourselves, a plan in our Christian life, a plan to root out habitual sin, a plan to go to confession more regularly, a plan to cut out social media or news, just the things that we consume, a plan to be more generous with my time or my energy, a plan to sort of simplify my life. I can make a plan about all of those things. But what today's gospel is pointing us towards is that Jesus is still sending his friends out into the world to preach and to teach and to heal people, to bring people back to life in his name. By our presence, by our friendship, by our generosity, by the way that we care for others, Jesus is still sending us out. And our yes has to look different than the non-believers. You and I represent Christ. That's why you're called a Christian. And so very practically, we need to make a simple plan. A simple plan. Who are the people in my life that the Lord wants me to have an impact on? We need to call upon the Holy Spirit. Bring to my mind a few people, and that probably means like one or two, so that we don't get discouraged, who are the one or two people that I want to know the Lord better. Not because them knowing Jesus would make my life easier. That's like the worst. Let's not do that. But because I want them to know joy. I want them to know contentment. I want them to know who God is and how it is that he cares for us, that he sent his only son into the world so that we might not die, but might have eternal life. So think of those few people in your life, and here's the first step. You know what we do for them? We pray. We pray for them. That's the first step, and we carry that all the way through. We surround them in prayer. Like, okay, Lord, whatever, this person's way far gone, this person has their foot in the door, we're going to surround them in prayer. And the most important thing to know about this is that prayer, first and foremost, changes us. Prayer changes me. Because I have to realize that I'm not God, that I'm not in control, that I can't do it all, and I certainly can't change hearts. God is the only one who can do that. And so I acknowledge to myself and to the Lord that I'm not him. And so I pray, and I receive humility, hopefully, in the midst of that. But prayer works too. So as I pray for this person, their heart is changed, molded, softened in some ways to be able to receive more of the Lord, we hope. So we're going to pray, and we're going to pray a lot. And secondly, I'm going to have eyes to see. I'm going to have eyes to see opportunities, opportunities to encourage. There's a lot of discouraged people out there. There's a lot of people who are disheartened, living in disappointment or isolation, that are fearful and anxious and worried in all these different ways. What are my opportunities to speak blessing into their life? What are my opportunities to bring light into the darkness, hope into despair? Look for opportunities to be Christ to them. And third, I'm going to invite them to something. The apostles were good at this because there wasn't like big, beautiful cathedrals or churches to bring anybody to and say, I really need you to meet Jesus. Like, I want to come bring you to him and show you the Lord who I've gotten to know over these past few years. I want you to meet him and experience life with him. So what does it look like to invite somebody into your own Christian life? Your family. Your family is a domestic church, the church of the home. Your family should be a place of prayer. It should be a crucifix on your wall, a picture of the Blessed Mother. It should be a place where people feel safe, most of all your children, your spouse, to bring people into your Christian life, to bring them to church. You're like, you can come to church. You have to weather Father Andrew's homilies. But beyond that, we'd love for you to join us. You can come pray with us. And then finally, you need to evaluate. Did I do what I set out to do? 5 months from now, mark it in your calendar. Who were the two people that I thought about that day that I said I'd pray for? Am I still praying for them? And if I stopped, why did I stop? Is it because I gave up on them? Is it because I gave up on God? Or is it because I didn't think I have what I needed? That I'm starting to take money for the journey now? I picked up a second tunic. I've got all the things that I need so I can continue going forward when the Lord has asked me to take him as my only provision. If I've given up on somebody else, is it because I don't believe in God enough that he can make all things new? It's a huge invitation in this because Jesus hasn't stopped sending people out onto mission. He hasn't stopped calling people to himself so that he can send them back out. But we give up before the job is done. We so often give up because we don't think it's worth it or it doesn't matter. And that also because no one's evaluating us at the end of the day. But in any mission, in any task, there is some sort of evaluation to ask, did I do what I set out to do? Or was I just laden with good intentions and really weak follow through? And if our Christian life matters even a little bit, there has to be some sort of evaluation that we take Jesus as our only provision for the journey, because all of our other resources, if you haven't figured it out, all of our other resources will be depleted. Time and energy and everything else. So Jesus is our anchor and our only hope, and he makes all things new. Mass is this beautiful place because the dynamics of this gospel play out. Jesus summons his friends to come to him, and you responded. Jesus summons his friends to be with him at Mass, and he serves us here. He encourages us, and he gives us what we need, not just so that we sit on our laurels and become fat, but so that he can send us out. And every Mass ends in the same way. When the priest says, go forth, the Mass is ended. Go in peace. Go glorifying the Lord by your life, that Jesus calls us here to him. But he doesn't leave us here. He sends us out into the world. And we need to make a plan for our Christian life so that we can grow and be the disciples that the Lord calls us to be, to first come to him and then be sent into the world.